We're about 20 days away from the first Grand Prix. We're all excited. We're all a little nervous, and so are the teams. My name is RJ Rishi Kapoor. With me is my dear friend Kunal Shah, our F1 blogger, our F1 enthusiast, our F1 expert. And me, myself, being a radio jockey, I have lots to talk about this sport. Good evening, Kunal.
Hi, Rishi. Good evening.
Achha, Kunal, big time a blow for Lotus. The second test not going well. Okay, before I come to Lotus, I would want to tell you that none of the cars look like a nice flower this time. They all look so ugly. These are the ugliest looking cars ever.
Except for the McLaren.
Oh, yeah. That is a beautiful Formula One car this year.
Yes, they've managed to crack it. They don't have the platypus nose or the hammerhead, as they've been calling it.
So wouldn't that be like a disadvantage? Because I remember the year when Williams had that shark.
Walrus nose,
yeah,
as they call it.
Very funny.
Well, whether it's a disadvantage or no, we'll only know, once we hit Melbourne. You know, whether McLaren have outsmarted the others or got outsmarted themselves.
I was just coming to the same. Everybody, including Sebastian Vettel, is saying, but it looks like the McLaren is doing well.
Yes, you could say that Red Bulls and McLarens are doing well. We've also seen the mid-grid teams like the Sahara Force Indias,
the Toro Rossos
and Saubers do fairly well as well. Ferrari seem to be struggling as well, but you know, frankly, after studying all the possible data that one could, that's available to us fans, testing reveals nothing at this point of time in the year.
It's actually misleading. But the good thing about this is, this year, in spite of the cars looking ugly, they look a lot closer to each other. There's no single advantage.
Yes, the midfield seems extremely close as well.
Correct.
And so do the top teams. And, you know, McLaren, Red Bull are already exchanging words in terms of who's closer and who's how fast. And I think we could just possibly see the most exciting season up ahead.
I'm so happy to see that. Everybody is now actually telling Lewis Hamilton that he needs to refocus. Everybody is calling Jenson Button the dark horse. But this year, where do you think the cars start? I think the Red Bull starts a little ahead of others.
I would agree. So I think Red Bull is possibly yet another step, maybe half a step ahead of the others.
Mm-hmm.
McLaren are up there as well. And, you know, they need to get their pre-season and testing and your early season form correct. And, you know, for some reason, I feel Ferrari also won't be a little too behind. They've tried a new design philosophy and not many know what it is. But once they start unlocking the speed on their car, which I hope they do, again, we will see a good fight at the top.
Okay, my two men are Kimi Raikkonen and Michael Schumacher. They both look reasonably comfortable in their new cars. They both look like they have a point to prove. But Bernie actually said that Michael should be in a Red Bull. You know why? Because he doesn't have a car to blame when he doesn't win.
Well, honestly, if Michael was in a Red Bull, he'd do as well or probably even better than Sebastian Vettel.
I would want to believe in that. Thank you so much. But yeah, we have biased opinion. But we also have a biased opinion towards Lotus, who's lost a few days in testing because of a chassis issue.
Yes, apparently and unfortunately. A reason I say unfortunately, because Raikkonen is racing for them.
Correct.
They seem to have some kind of a chassis issue, and I'm sure not much of it is being revealed to people outside the Lotus circle. And they've lost 3 days of valuable pre-season testing, which I guess they will crawl back and do private testing. But if it stands and as it stands, they possibly have taken a big blow at the start of the season.
But we both believe, and in a little sandbagging, uncanny way, that they are hiding something, some new part of the suspension, some new rear wing, etc., that they will get to the private test and not reveal to everyone.
Well, I would... Yes, possibly they are. But, you know, with only 12 days of pre-season testing, you don't have much time to sandbag. Efficiency is order of the day. And, you know, a team that is efficient every single day is possibly going to end up being consistently quick and reliable.
One very important piece of information is new testing rules this year. Now, we all know that mid-season testing was banned. Except for this year, it's back in a limited amount.
Yes, you know, testing is expensive. And, you know, there are teams that have gone berserk in the past and have tested every single day that they could. And costs went out of control. But in the last few years, to bring costs in control, they've regulated testing. Up until last year, in-season testing was banned. You know, they had only 15 days of pre-season testing. And this year, they've actually brought back in-season testing. You'll have 3 days of in-season testing. And again, to keep costs in control, they've limited pre-season testing to only 12 days. So, all in all, the team is spending only 15 days of on pre-season testing.
All the teams test so much in a track like Barcelona, which is also there on the calendar, the Circuit de Catalunya. Then when they come to the races, why are they not a lot closer to each other? Why is one team so much more at an advantage than the other? Because they've all tested the same track laps and laps and laps.
See, actually, I'll take a step back from a question. And, you know, people keep asking us on the blog as to why are they testing so much in Barcelona? And one of the reasons is, see, Barcelona is known to be a very aero-dependent track.
Correct.
And the modern-day Formula One car depends a lot on its aerodynamics to go quick as well. So
Correct.
The best test for a car's aerodynamic performance is possibly Barcelona. And coming to your question of why don't they do as well or why aren't they as close, you know, at the races, it's possibly because, you know, we don't know what testing programs they ran.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of time, teams do a glory lap to impress the media or impress a sponsor or so on and so forth. But when you come to a race circuit and you go onto a racing weekend, it's your true pace that is revealed.
Confusing point is Mercedes started the first test with the old car. Just tested the tires and a few parts. Won't be losing a lot of time because, you know, I know they have more time to, you know, on a computer design a better car, have a more little more wind tunnel testing time. But then actual testing on the track with the wind, with the sand is a totally different game.
Yes, it is a different game. And see, at the end of the day, what you do in the wind tunnel and what you do on track needs to be synced. And that's where, if you recollect, Ferrari admitted they had a slight error last year.
Correct.
And I personally don't think it's a big disadvantage to, you know, launch your car a couple of weeks later than everyone else. In fact, it could give you that couple of bit of extra days and extra hours to just fine-tune and, you know, bring your machine up to the standards you would want it to be.
Okay. A lot of newcomers coming in. Someone you're looking up to, as in looking forward to?
I think Daniel Ricciardo.
Oh, yes. Everybody's been talking about him replacing Weber. And it's already on.
Yeah, you know, driver market 2012 is going to be extremely exciting. Michael Schumacher, Mark Weber, Felipe Massa, and believe it or not, even Lewis Hamilton's contract gets over by the end of the year.
Correct.
So, do we see them getting replaced? Do we see one or two of them retiring? Or do we see them getting renewed? That's going to be a very interesting musical chair follow.
Okay, we've covered most of the testing now. How close are the Pirelli compounds to each other? Because last year, it was such that there were a lot of races where you could do one lap on the soft compound, complete the rest of the lap, like on a track like Monaco, the rest on the prime tire. But this year, the option and the prime are a lot more closer to what Pirelli claim.
Yes, see, Pirelli is back in the sport after an exit in the 90s. And, you know, to make Formula One interesting, they made highly durable tires, and the tires had a large difference between any of the two compounds that were used, which towards the end of the year, when teams got used to the compounds, did get a little predictable and slightly boring as well. So
Correct.
This year, they've bunched up the tires together.
Mm-hmm.
So each tire has its own benefit and disadvantages, and it's not too fast or too slow from the ones next to it. So it'll probably be interesting for people who like to predict tire strategy.
We're the Indian racing fans, and our man is back. Naren, we were not expecting him to sign up a contract with anybody, land up a racing seat, but he has one.
Yes, he has. And you know, the interesting thing is, both Naren and HRT claim that he's in for the full season, which, if you ask me, is brilliant. No, it is, because what happens is it gives him mental peace to know that he doesn't have to work hard to race to save his race seat.
Correct.
And it gives him mental peace to make sure that, hey, all I need to do is be quick on the track, and trust me, he is capable of being that.
Absolutely. I remember the Indian Grand Prix last year, he was so much quicker than his partner, a lot of times out qualifying the partner with a lack of the number of laps he gets, because he wasn't there for all the races.
True.
But one more point, and very valid point, is Jarno Trulli suddenly there, not there, gets out of Caterham. What's the deal with Jarno?
Formula One is, like I said, an expensive sport, and there are drivers who are talented, who come with, you know, sponsor backing. That's what Vitaly Petrov did. And, you know, Petrov did go public a few weeks before his announcement, saying there was a sponsor commitment which was actually delayed. And to be frank, in the Formula One circles, and you know, a lot of people were expecting Trulli to be, you know, replaced.
Mm-hmm.
Not just because of performance, but also because of the goodie bags and the money bags that Petrov and his Russian sponsors were bringing to the table.
But this year, we Indians have a lot to be proud of. And one of them being a big association between Tata and Bernie Eccleston. And they've actually come out with a new way of communicating Formula One to the world.
Yes, you know, interestingly, Tata has just upped their investment in the sport in the last decade or so.
Correct.
We all know that TCS is a part of Ferrari. Tata Motors went about sponsoring Naren in his quest last year. Now, Tata Communications has become a part of Formula One as well, as the official connectivity and technology solutions provider.
Okay.
Which is brilliant, because it'll connect all the 20 races, and you know, it'll make data transfer far more easier. It'll avoid satellite uplinking and delays. And Formula One is pretty content heavy, so the earlier you distribute and share your content, the better it is for us fans. So it is actually brilliant for all of us.
So you're talking about some crazy speeds, as you were mentioning to me.
Yes, I have a physical network which is called, I think, the Tata Global Network, capable of some 1 terabyte per second, which is phenomenally quick. Possibly as quick as how you would compare it to Formula One cars.
Which also means that someday, when we have a great internet connection on our phones, we could be streaming Formula One live.
Why not?
Thank you so much, Kunal, for being with me here. I think we've covered all that we can before Melbourne. Our blogs will be refreshed very soon, very often. And if you have a question or two, you can leave it below. You'll see a link below where you can ask us a question. We're always happy to answer that, as we've done in the past. Thank you so much, Kunal.
Thanks, Rishi. Always fun.
Always fun to talk about Formula One. Hey, that rhymed.